Amen. That was a wonderful service we had this morning, wasn't it? Let's hope the Lord now blesses tonight, and we'll have a good service tonight. I greet each and every one of you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope that the Lord will bless you tonight as we open up His Word. Every time you know you read His Word, you know, maybe you don't think it does much, but the Word of God says that there's a blessing. There's a blessing even in hearing the Word of God. And there's a blessing in reading the Word of God. And if you want the right kind of faith, faith cometh by hearing. And what heareth? Hearing cometh by the Word of God. You need to have the Word of God to get the right kind of hearing. You can hear sometimes, but maybe you're hearing the right thing. You can hear the enemy. But tonight we want to hear God's voice. We want to hear what God has to say about things. Let's just bow our head a moment tonight before we open God's Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we say tonight, holy and reverent is your name. We say, Lord, tonight that there's none like unto you, for there's none that can save, there's none that can heal, and there's none that can deliver like you. There's none beside you, but you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, tonight we uplift your holy name. Lord, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, that there is power in the name of Jesus. And by faith, Lord, tonight we take that name and we take the blood of Jesus right now. And Lord God, I apply that blood, Lord, over each and every one in this building tonight, Lord, upon each and every one, Lord, represented here tonight, each and every one that's on our thoughts and in our minds tonight. Lord, tonight we cast down every work of the enemy in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray tonight that you will help your people, Lord. That you will give them joy, Lord, that you will give them strength, Lord, that you will help us all, Lord, that we may go out, Lord, feeling refreshed and uplifted in Jesus' name. Lord, we cast down, Lord, every vain imagination, Lord. We come against every principality and power in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, that those that need a touch tonight will receive healing in their body, Lord. Lord, we know it's already accomplished, but Lord, help us to have faith, Lord, to receive it. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help me to step aside. Lord, I pray that you will open up your word. Let it be illuminated. Let it be uplifted. Let the words come right out, Lord, into our mouths and into our thoughts tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, for the glory of God. Amen and amen. Amen. Tonight, I want to try and talk about spiritual warfare. You know, I was thinking about this week and this verse we're going to read kept coming back to me. I kept thinking about it. We want to turn our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read verses 12. And then we're going to come back to Ephesians later on. But I want to read this one thing, for I kept thinking about this one thing. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 12. For it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You may take your seats tonight. This one verse, I kept thinking about this. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You know, you sometimes may have a bad day, or you could have a bad week, and you know, you could get to thinking, it's this one's fault, or that one's fault, or somebody else's fault, or something like that. But you know, the enemy's goal is to distract you and to make you blame anybody but him. Because do you see, if you ever one time sat down and blamed him, he'd be in trouble, wouldn't he? He made a wee mistake this week. I went out to go to work and the van wouldn't start, flat battery. And it's my own silliness, I suppose, because the night before, trouble getting her started, but I thought when I drove her home, she'll be well charged up. But I jumped out to go to take Abigail to school on flat battery, so I pulled out the jump pack, and it was flat too, so that was good. Then the charger, I put the charger on, and I rang Sister Sharon, and she come and lifted Abigail and lifted Eli for me and took Abigail to school. You know, and I said to myself, "Devil, you have made a mistake. Because do you see, while I'm waiting in this van to charge, I'm going to start praying and I'm going to start praising God." And I went in and I got the Bible out. And before I knew it, I was praying in tongues. And I was uplifting the name of Jesus. Boy, the devil made a mistake. He thought I would be all annoyed because the old van wouldn't start. Boy, he made a mistake. Do you see, every time he tries to discourage you, turn it back on him. Like my dad that time, and he lifted up that wee pen, he lifted it up and he shouted out loud, "Devil, take a good look at this. Be still and know that I am God." And you know something, I felt good. I said, that's what I needed. I needed that van not to start, to give me 2 minutes to go and praise the Lord and uplift the Lord. Because you know, it's run from this point, run from this pillar, run to that post, and do this and do that, and the next thing there's another bill through the door, or the next thing there's something else. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to run about like a hen in a thunderstorm. She doesn't know where the house is. She's up and down. She's running back and forth. But you know, there's a place of safety under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty. Amen. Why, when you run in there, the devil's in trouble. I've wrote down here, what does this spiritual thing cause? It can make you feel physically and mentally drained. The spiritual warfare that's going on can actually make you feel physically drained. You know, you can feel it that. But sometimes you think, I'm doing too much, or I'm doing this or that. But sometimes it's the enemy. He wants you to feel drained. He wants you to feel physically tired, weak. When you get tired and weak, you don't think straight. Do you know, if you've worked hard all day and you get hungry and you get tired, you sometimes get a bit twisted, don't you? You can get crabbed and you don't think straight. But if you take a minute or two and when you get refreshed, you feel better, don't you? But the devil wants to do that with you spiritually. He wants to starve you to death. How does he do it? He'll not want you to open your Bible. He'll not want you to take 2 minutes to pray. He'll not want you to sit down and praise God. He'll want you to look at the circumstances. And he will develop circumstances to cripple you. To leave you thinking, oh, God has left me in bait. What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with that? Stop and pray. Take a moment and pray. And it's amazing how God changes the circumstances. For I just thought about this scripture. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood. And you know what's coming into the time of the year where depression will be very high. Because the weather is one thing. And then people will get in a whole fluster. Christmas is coming. What am I going to do? I need to do this. I need to do that. There's no money to do this. There's no money to do that. The devil will want to put you in a fix to make you feel cast down. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. But you know, when you recognize your enemy, he's in trouble. Also, I have a whole lot of scriptures wrote down here, and I don't mind about that, because we know when you're reading the word of God, it's not my word, it's his word, and it'll do you good. If I don't say nothing but read this word of God, you'll be blessed. Because when I declare and read this word over you, there's a blessing comes on you. And it'll do something for you, because every time you read the word of God, it refreshes you. It's like when I said, if you come in hungry and thirsty, and you get a drink, well, when you read the word of God, it's like getting a drink on a real hot day. It refreshes you spiritually, and I believe it'll charge you physically. It'll give you physical strength and spiritual strength. I want to look here, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to read verses 7 down to verses 11. Verses 11. It says, cast all your cares upon him. For what? For he careth for you. Amen. Say that to yourself. He cares for me. He's not just worried about Joe Blogs or this one or that one, but you personally. Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for everyone. For he loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't specifically a precise few, but for all who will believe, the blood is strong enough. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is on the war path. He is slipping about, and I've wrote down here, I have said, he goes about looking for an easy target. Like the way the lion does in the wild. You watch the wildlife programs or anything like that, and you watch a big herd of buffalo or something like that. Now, the lion doesn't always set out and try to take out the big bull, or he'll not set out to take out a big, strong, fully mature cow. But he'll look for a wee calf. He will look for an easy target. And he will look for something that's outside of the whole herd. He will do his best to take you out of the flock or out of the herd. Because he knows that when you're out on your own, you're vulnerable. When the devil takes you out of fellowship, you're vulnerable. When the devil takes you away from bowing your knee and praying to God, you're vulnerable. When the devil stops you from reading the word of God, you're vulnerable. But do you see when you get into fellowship? Do you see when you start reading the word of God? Do you see when that wee calf gets back in beside his mommy? And all them other mommies there are standing there to protect it. That lamb is a tough time. And his hunt is not always very successful. When that big bull hears a ruckus going on, he comes to the rescue. And he stands in the place of that little animal to try and save it. But you know, we've got one tonight greater. Because it says he is the good shepherd. Why, I love that. Amen. I love that because sheep are so crooked sometimes. I left today to go out to move sheep out of a field of wet gutters because there's no grass. And when I let them out, they went the complete opposite road. Any other time I can go out with a bucket of meal. I went out one time and took them across 3 or 4 fields on my own because they knew my voice and they listened to me, and I ran the bucket and I went out today and they knew I was in a hurry because I wanted to get back to read a bit more and do that bit of studying. But when I went out, there was one who, when it breaks out, it never can come back through where it broke out, by the way. It lets on a stupid. When I let them out of the field today, it took them all up into the lane and looked at me as in, I will not follow you, I will go my own way. And run as hard as it could the opposite road, and when one runs, they all go.
That's why God says we're like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every time I work with them, I realize how twisted we are. When you see the crookedness of them, and we're representing that, then look at how much love the good shepherd had. Because it says he left the 99 and went to find one. He could have said, forget about it. Let the wolf eat it if it's silly enough to break out. If it's silly enough to go its own way. I've seen them breaking out. You might say, well, forget about it. If it's stuck on a shook, you can stay in it till the morning. You might be cross and annoyed. But our good shepherd didn't get to that, did he? We looked at him and run the opposite road. But he didn't say, well, away with you then. No, he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son for us.
Amen.
And he made a way so easy for us. And when we actually get the right kind of hearing, we hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. And when we hear his voice, it's a distinct voice. And then when you hear the enemy's voice, you know it's an uncertain sound. But when you hear his voice, well, they turned and run the opposite road, and I had to jump out through a fence and run up the lane as fast as I could because they were going to run to the road. Now, what they were going to get to eat on the road, I don't know. But she thought it would be good to run to the road, so I sprinted up the field and turned them, and then they still couldn't go the right road, but they jumped into another field, and I said, there's grass and that, you can stay there till the morning. So I left them. But you know, every time you deal with that, you realise how crooked you are yourself. Because it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. By how many times has God asked you to do something? And you said, I maybe will do it. I'll do it next week. I'll maybe do it. Do you know, I'll read my Bible next week. I'll maybe take a minute and I'll pray next week. Maybe I'll pray the next week after that. Maybe I'll take a day that day or this day or some other day. No. Take time now. Take time no matter where you are. If you're driving down the road, just do it. I've seen me just driving down the road. If anybody pulled up alongside you, they'd think he's lost the plot. Because sometimes when you're just driving along on your own and when you start praying, you just that presence of the Lord just comes down where you are. Because he's with you. Because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But the enemy wants you to be like what said that wee animal when they get separated from them all. He is going about like a roaring lion. And he is seeking whom he may devour. It says here in verses 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. When you've got the right kind of faith, do you know what it does? It gives you resilience. There's people that don't know what to believe. There's no resilience. First wind hits them, and they're like a plant that was brought out of the greenhouse. And the first storm hits it, the whole lot's tipped over, because it had no roots in it. But a plant that grew out on the side of the mountain, it doesn't matter what way the wind blows on it, because it's got real good roots built into the ground. And God wants you to be rooted in his word. He wants you to be able to withstand any spiritual warfare. How do you do that? Get rooted into his word. The more you read, the more the roots grow out stronger and stronger and stronger, and he will nourish you and feed you. What does it say in Psalms? Does it say you will grow up like a tree planted beside the river? Because it's feeding off a great life source. All the nutrients is coming down that river, and that tree sucking that all in. And this word of God is full of nutrients, spiritually, physically, mentally. It will give you the right mindset. You know, a big part of everything, sports, life, everything, having a positive attitude. If you have got a negative attitude, there's nothing as sickening as working with a boy with a negative attitude. No matter what you're going to do, that's not right, this is not right, something else not right. Well, you know it mightn't be right, but don't go on about it. Just what is right? Like I heard a man one time preached a message, I think I mentioned it before. You'll always hear what's wrong in the church, but what's right in the church? Why not say what's right? When you meet the skeptic, tell them something that's right. Don't say, ah, no, that's not right. That's what the devil wants. Do you know what negative talk does? Brings a negative atmosphere. It brings a heavy atmosphere. Do you ever walk around somebody who's positive and uplifted? You'll go away feeling glad. You know, I know Rock was one of the greatest men ever to be with for that reason. If you worked with him for the day, why, he went home. You didn't realise you'd done a day's work. I remember taking time off school to hunt till them when they were at the plastering. 3 or 4 plasters. And I had to go up a set of stairs and I was mixing at the mixer and I was running as quick as I could get it done. They were looking at it. But you know, the crack was that good. And he was that joyful that the day went in, and when you went home, you know, it didn't annoy me in the slightest. I went home happy. Do you know what's wrong with people? Some people need a good day's work. They need to go home tired. You need a day's work to help your mind right sometimes. Some people footer about that much that there's a spiritual heaviness comes on them. And they spend their whole time feeling drained and cast down. Do you know, like my dad always used to say, when them boys was all doing the weights, he said, you boys need put into a calf house with a grape. And he says, if you've got a dare to do that, that would be the first thing to help you. Tell you, if you do a day at that, you'll sleep that night. And it says, the rest of the working man is sweet. You'll have a good night's sleep. The devil wants to rob that from you. He will want your head to be racing for everything that's going on. He will not want you to shut this world out. And one of the greatest ways of doing it is just when you open your Bible and read a bit of scripture and pray. The next thing you know, all that noise is gone. And there's a different noise in your ear. The sound of rejoicing. The sound of being glad. And appreciate what God has done for you. To think about it. You were going the complete opposite route. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Didn't deserve a thing. But God, so rich in mercy, sent his only begotten Son for me and for you. It says here, verses 10 and verses 11, but the God of all grace, whom hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, settle you. You know, after the enemy has been trying to go at you like the roaring lion, this is what God does. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, the enemy may be going about like a roaring lion, but we know that God is in control. If we turn in our Bibles now to Job, I'm trying to give you a few wee examples of how that the enemy is doing this, how that he's in operation, how he's going about and doing his best. He's doing his best to try and take the legs from you. Every opportunity he gets, he will do his best to leave you cast down. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, and we'll read verses 6 and verses 7. And we know that Job's plight was severe. God really tested Job. And we know that Job had a lot of them men that there is about today. Job's comforters, they haven't disappeared. Them boys are still about today. They will come along and say, when anything goes wrong, they will speak, like the man said, Captain Obvious. If something happens, they'll just repeat it as if you didn't already know. As if you didn't need kicked in the teeth one more time, they will give you another boot in the mouth. Job's comforters are always about when something goes wrong. But you know, there's not as many boys about willing to reach out and give you a hand up, is there? They're a bit few and far between to find, but we ought to be that man. We ought to be that man. You ought to be the man in the position that can say, I'll help you out, or I'll pray for you. You're in the position to say, I will pray for you, and God will change your circumstances. You know, like there's a man one time, he was speaking to my dad, and he was saying he had an awful sore back. And he was talking to him about it. My dad, he started to talk to him about healing and about how that God can heal you. And when they were finished talking, he said, I feel better already. But you see, if he'd have sat down, oh boy, it's an awful thing, and I'll bod back. An awful job, I hurt my back one time and everyone's right again. That's all you'll ever hear. You ever talk to a boy if you've done some, oh boy, I hurt my back one time. Never was right after. You'll never be right again. No, you will be better. Tell him, no, I talked to a boy one time. The time I'd racked my knee. And I said, you know, I got healed. Aye, but that'll give you trouble. I says, no, not. I says, it's perfect now. I says, it's as good as the day it ever was. And I says, it's only going to get better and stronger. Oh, but no, I know what happened to me once. I says, I don't care what happened to you. I can tell you what has happened to me. I says, yes, it was bad. But I can tell you now that God has healed me. Amen. When God heals you, he doesn't make a mistake. Amen. You might get sick again, but he's still there. He's still available. When the skeptic says, this is not going to be right, it's going to be better, skeptic. Amen. I don't want to hear it, devil. You know, if you speak negativity, that's what you'll have. Oh, boy, I'm getting on a bit, I'm this or I'm not. Don't say that. Just say, I'm getting better every day. I'm just getting better every day. I'm feeling better every day. I'm feeling stronger every day. Devil, I'm going to give you an all-around today again. When he tries to throw some obstacle in your road, just say, don't worry. I'm well fit for it. That's going all around. Like the boy in the ring, if he lay down and threw the towel in, he'd never win a fight, would he? But the boy that wins the fights never lies down. It doesn't matter how hard it gets, he'll get up and go again. That's the way us believers ought to be, but the devil wants us to be the kind that lay down and look back. But don't be that kind. Be the kind when you put your hand to the plow, you won't look back, but you'll keep pressing on. Job chapter 1 on verses 6 and 7, and it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now I want you to know, he's still about today. He was about here. You know, like I said before, my dad said to the teacher one time about the demons and all, and she says, oh, that was only in Bible times. It doesn't happen anymore. It's as rife now as it ever was, if not more. The devil is walking about. He said, here he come, and he actually come in among these people. He come in among them, it says, and the devil came also with them. They came to present themselves before the Lord. He even had the cheek to try and come into the presence of God. He was so bold. He'll try and come in anywhere. Just because you come into church doesn't maybe mean he'll not try and follow you in. He will try his best. He will go along with you anywhere. But when you plead the blood of Jesus and when you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, he gets out and goes.
Amen.
You know, if you ever have a happy atmosphere, the best thing to do is lift the word of God and read it out loud. And the atmosphere will change. The very atmosphere, because all them demons in the background, all them enemies that's walking about that you cannot see, they have to get offside because they realize that there's something more here than they can deal with. The blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, plead the blood. Proclaim the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It says that he came in here and it says that he was walking about in the midst of the earth from going to and fro. And we know that in our scripture says, thou hast been in Eden. He went into the Garden of Eden, didn't he? And he talked to the woman and he beguiled her. He possessed the serpent. He used the old serpent to do his dirty work for him. You know, and that's what his game is. He will try anything. Now, you see, that serpent obviously didn't look like a sort of a creature that was going to do any harm, did he? He didn't seem nasty. He didn't seem bad. But he seemed nice and he actually seemed convincing. If you listen to what he said, it all sounded sensible. It sounded like God was, oh, God's only doing that because he doesn't want you to get this better thing. God won't withhold any good thing from those that love him. The day that the devil tells you, that's the devil's message, isn't it? He will try and come across as if he's on God's side. Like if you're working with a decoy, if try and make it look like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. It's a bluff. Like them old decoys for shooting crows and stuff. It looks like a crow and they come flying down in, but the boy's there with a double barrel. And they've made a mistake. That's what the enemy wants to lead you into. We know that he's from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in the midst of it. Then if we look in Daniel, if we look here in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10 and verses 11, sorry, verse 12 and verse 13. This we know that Daniel had set his face to pray. If you read back at the start of it, he'd set his face to pray and he'd been praying for a long time and it seemed like nothing was happening. It seemed like his prayer hadn't made it to God, as it were. It seemed like he had been praying, he had been fasting, he had been looking for an answer, but it seemed like nothing was happening. I'm sure you've been in that position. Many's a time you might pray, and you might pray, and you might pray. But I want you to know, God has heard you, and the answer's on the way. God has heard you, and the answer's on the way, but the devil will want you to believe that nothing has happened, and he is going about in the background to try and block your prayer. For it says here, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you didst set thine heart to understand and to cast thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. It's not wonderful. From the first day that you cast your job, you decided to pray and bow down, your words were heard. The devil will be telling you, oh, maybe God didn't hear you. But you know, God does hear. God hears and he answers prayer. And it says, your words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 12 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with him. And it says, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people. But you see, the devil had put a blocker in to stop God's answer coming, didn't he? He done his best to stop it. But he says that Michael came to withstand him. Satan will want you to believe that God doesn't hear you. And we turn now in our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. These are all examples of how that the devil's in operation. We know that Jesus himself, this is the greatest example, I believe, of all. Jesus, who was perfect, God in flesh, himself was tempted by the devil. Tempted in every way. But yet he withstood him, didn't he? And we see here how that he dealt with him. Matthew chapter 4. And we'll read verses 1, and then we'll read verses 2 and down to 4. It says, then was Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Is that not familiar today? If you really believe that God can do that, let me see it happening right now. Is that not the devil's message? Every time, have you tried to talk to some people about healing or about it? Oh, the days of miracles has passed. Not only happened to the disciples. Where would you see it now? Gee, you never see anything like that happening. Where's the proof of all this? Well, it's a bit like if you stick your head in the sand like the owl ostrich, you won't see very much, and the enemy could slip in and have the ostrich eggs gathered up and away. But if you took your head out of the sand and looked for the evidence, and read the evidence. There's a whole book full of evidence. He said, for I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said he changes not. And there's multiple books wrote. And there's multiple witnesses, eyewitnesses, verbal witnesses, written down to say that God healed them and delivered them. But people will say, oh, there's not much evidence for it, is there? But there's plenty of evidence. But we see here that Jesus was taken out to be tempted by the devil, and he knew that he was hungry physically. So what did he say? Sure, why don't you make them stones into bread? Sure, do this and do that. Do all these things. But what did Jesus say? Verses 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written. So how are we supposed to answer the enemy? It's written. Doesn't matter what I say, but I can tell you now, it's written down in black and white that God has saved me, that God has delivered me, that God has healed me. It's a written contract that can't be broken. And it's proof that God has done these things for me. And the devil can't take it away from you. But the devil, he will want you to get flustered and not think of that. He'll want you to think of something else and take you away the opposite road. I've said here, we must respond to the devil in the same way as Jesus did. And I've wrote down here, it is written, as I've said. Now, I want to give you a few things here. Maybe that's a bit negative about the devil going about. But we know that God is in control. I've wrote down 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5. And the head point of it, another verse was in my head, was, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. You can read that one yourselves there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So it doesn't matter. We're not depending on what we can do. We physically can't go out and strike devil up here now and we'll go at it sort of thing. Or we'll take a gun and get it, or we'll do this. You can't do that. It's a spiritual warfare. But that spiritual warfare can be interrupting you physically as well, mentally as well. It can do all these things. But you know, there's a spiritual way of attacking them. And we see here what the weapons we have at our disposal. Chapter 10, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. And this is another wee portion of scripture I thought was absolutely brilliant. This really done something for me. In Deuteronomy 28 and verses 4 down to verses 8. Do you know, when I read this, I shouted out, amen, praise the Lord. It done something for me. I thought it was brilliant. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 4 down to verses 8, it says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kin, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Why, the enemy wants to come in and clear everything out of your store. He wants to raid your cupboard out. He wants to raid your finances out. He wants to raid everything out. But God says you're blessed. Amen. And whatever God blesses, the enemy can't curse. Whatever God blesses, the enemy can't take from you. He cannot steal any blessing. Blessed shall be thy basket, thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. Amen. You're blessed no matter what you're doing, coming or going. God is with you all the time. He doesn't just appear on a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and then stay here till you come back. He goes with you. He's with you all the time, 24/7, and his line's never too busy. It's open constantly. It says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies. I love this here. This made me praise God. The Lord shall make thy enemies that rise up against thee to smite thee before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, amen, and flee before thee seven ways. Why, they're not big of a panic, they can't get away quick enough. When you say, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah, why, the heavens open up and the enemy scatters. He doesn't know what road to go. Seven roads he'll run. He's in that big of a comic to get away. That one wee bit really blessed me. I read that the other day. And as I say, it was a blessing. The enemy will flee from you seven ways. He's in that big of a panic to get away. I'm going to try and come to the close. I don't want to weary you tonight. But let's go back in our Bibles now to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And I've wrote down basically, this is the remedy Ephesians chapter 6, and what I've just said is the remedy to all this, really, isn't it? We know we read one specific part of Ephesians, but if you read more of this, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 down to verses 18, it is the remedy for the whole thing, isn't it? For wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be both able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That is the remedy, devil. When you put on the helmet, what happens? It can't get into your mind. When you have got the sword of the Spirit, what happens? It's the weapon that's not carnal, but it is mighty. It cuts back the enemy. It cuts down the strongholds of the enemy. It breaks the chains that would try to hold you back. You can't physically do it, but when you take this sword of the Spirit, that sword does something. It's stronger than any weapon that ever was formed. It's stronger than nuclear weapons. There's no weapon in this world that can match the power of God. Amen. Nothing can come anywhere near, not even a drop. But when you put all these bits of the weapon and all this bit of the armor on, put the breastplate of righteousness on, put on the whole armor of God, that is the remedy to the spiritual warfare. Let's just stand a moment and we'll bow our heads for it after it comes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks tonight for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help your people to be blessed, Lord. I pray anything that I've said amiss or out of place, you'll forgive me, Lord. But every word of yours, Lord, let it sink into our minds. Let it be in our thoughts. Let us meditate upon these things, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll stir up some wee portion of your word tonight to someone, Lord, that will help them, strengthen them. Lord, I pray for any, Lord, that was feeling cast down or afflicted, for any, Lord, that's laid aside tonight at home. I pray, Lord, if they hear this message, that you will touch them. Lord, that you'll do something for them, that you'll cast down every vain imagination from them. Lord, I pray you'll block the enemy's voice out of their ear and let them hear the still, small, sweet voice. Lord, let them hear that sweet voice tonight, Lord, for those that are laid aside sick at home or wherever they may be, Lord, for all our loved ones tonight that are out, Lord, who are not seeking or serving you, I pray that they will hear that voice tonight, that voice to remind them that you laid down your life for them and that you love them and that you're there to save them and to help them. Lord, I pray you'll help them to step aside and to call upon your sweet and lovely name. Lord, I pray you'll save each and every one, Lord. Heal every one represented, Lord, tonight. As we have declared that you are a healer, we believe that your word says that you never changed. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us the faith to overcome each and every day. For the glory of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's not good, it's not true. God is good, isn't it? I tell you. That was a word tonight. There's probably people should be here to hear it and not hear. And it's disappointing, you know. Many times you come to church and you feel specifically you have a word for the Lord for somebody and then they don't appear. Now, God is not the one that keeps him away. It's the devil. And I'll tell you, it was so important what Samuel said tonight. And we've seen it. When the owl enemy gets the one sheep away from the rest, or whatever the wee animal is, then he strikes. And I don't believe taking off church is giving you a break. I believe myself it's the opposite. How would it give you a break? The Bible says gather often as you see the day approaching, not take off. You come to church to get blessed, to get encouraged, to get uplifted. That's the place you want to be. And there's encouragement tonight for all of us with Samuel's preach. It's been a real encouraging message. But unfortunately for those that weren't able to come, they haven't heard it. And they might go on listening, and they might not. The devil mightn't let them. He might not let them go on. He might hoodwink them. And they might have a lot of time, but the enemy will fill it. He'll fill their time. But I tell you what Psalm said tonight, we want to be that man or women. We want to be the lamplighters. Not the boy who puts the light out, but that gets it lit. Amen. God bless you. On Thursday night, we'll be continuing our prayer and Bible study. And next Sunday, our brother John's going to be preaching in the morning, and myself, the Lord willing, in the evening. And the Lord is willing. He is willing. That's the thing about it. Keep praying for the brethren that's not able to come at the minute, that God will bring them back, that they'll be here again. No matter what it looks like, keep on believing it. And keep on praying. Isn't God good? God is good, like we own Samuel Yaldi used to say every time. Come ahead, Brother Gary, and the Lord bless you. And we'll see you again Thursday night. God bless each one. God bless you, Samuel.
Let's sing that little hymn we've sung it a few times. He took my place and died for me, the precious Lamb of Calvary. A trembling